Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Give it to me.
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Trick to you, it's Saturday.
Oh, coffee time.
Welcome to It's a Thing, Bathrobes and Coffee Edition, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we analyze the hottest trends that, at this point, are mostly happening on the internet, but occasionally out there in the world. And we determine, by process of careful scientific examination, a.k.a. multiple texts back and forth, whether those things are indeed things.
I was thinking this morning that we ride the wide range of trends left still to humans, not covered by algorithms. You can go to your Twitters and your Facebooks and see the trending topics, but that's obvious, you know? And honestly, that's just going to make you upset. We're going to tell you the important things that the algorithms can't tell you, things that are going to entertain and delight you the way a machine can't.
Damn, son. That's amazing. Kind of hilariously, awesomely true. And should definitely be our new tagline.
Yes. Please.
Finding things that the machines can't.
I won't remember what I just said. So someone please transcribe that and make it our tagline. Thank you.
That's incredible. And it's so true. We still need humans.
No, I really was. I was looking at the Twitter trending topics, thinking like, oh, maybe I should see what's there. And I was like, oh, no, these are boring. Like, these are obvious. Like, this doesn't make the cut for It's a Thing. We have higher standards than that.
We do have higher standards. Ugh. And we are not here to divide, friends.
No.
We are here to unite.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In fact, my first thing will unite us all in our need for something small right now. Be that dental floss, a fifth of vodka, whatever it is that you need. I've noticed that as the lockdown proceeds, or even in some cases not lockdown, but just people not really digging going out of the house if they don't have to, the prevalence of convenience store delivery, right? Like, we started with grocery store delivery and restaurant delivery. That was already in place. But I've noticed that both Uber Eats and now DoorDash are promoting the fact that they deliver from your bodega, liquor store, convenience store, whatever you want to call it.
Dude, I feel actually like totally embarrassed that I didn't. This is one of those things that occurred in my real life and I didn't realize it was a thing, because I've been saying for weeks like, oh, it's so funny how Yemeni Bodega totally delivers on DoorDash. And it never occurred to me that they all do, but that makes perfect sense. It's like, yeah, I don't, because yes, I like the idea that this is sort of voluntary lockdown at this point. It's like casual visits to the store don't feel as casual as they used to, even if there's just, it's because there's a line. Floss, tweezers. Well,
the other day, Eileen was like, ooh, I'm out of milk for the coffee. I drink my coffee black, but Eileen has been making these like iced latte things, which look delicious. I've even had a couple. They are delicious. And I was like, oh, crap, I just put our grocery order in. It's too late for me to add anything to it. I was like, why can't you order from a convenience store? And then I realized I bet you can, and you totally can. And then this week, DoorDash made a big announcement of how they're consolidating all the local convenience stores into an interface, so it's easy to find and all that sort of thing. But yeah, mouthwash, canned noodles, whatever it is you would normally get at your bodega, it's available to your door if you're willing to pay that delivery fee.
At only double the price as you pay the delivery fee and up the tip. To the top amount that they'll allow, because you feel so guilty.
The prices looked right, which is like slightly higher than a grocery store. That's normal at a convenience store. But then, yeah, you have to pay the delivery fee, which is, you know, usually a couple, $3. And then if you're a human, you're going to want to tip that person. So not something I actually took advantage of. I was like, Can you wait till the next grocery delivery for the milk?
Oh, yeah. See, that's so funny. I totally will. I've discovered that because I'm not spending money on anything else, I couldn't be less price sensitive when it comes to delivery.
Oh, really?
Point.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, bring it.
We're doing more restaurant delivery than we would normally, I think, for that very reason.
Yeah.
And I tend to be good with the tips because, hey, you're out there risking your life somewhat bringing me this food. So I think you deserve a little extra compensation for that. Yeah. So we got like The Habit, which is a burger chain delivered, which that would not be something we would normally have delivered. We'd just go get it if we want it. Right. So
right.
Stuff like that. Yeah. Not convenience store. Actually, for some reason, I think it was because it was just the one item. I think if we'd had like three or four things, I would have totally done it.
And if you have Dash Pass, then most of your delivery is free. Mm-hmm. There's a whole, I mean, I can't tell you, I've discovered in these troubled times that I can make my 13-year-old happy, which is a hard thing to do always, by just saying the word yes to him when he says, can I order some fast food on Dash Pass?
Yeah.
Or on DoorDash.
And you got the Dash Pass, so there's
like
cuts down.
Two or three times. Oh, no, totally.
Uber Eats has a pass now, too. I haven't plunked down for it, but I probably should, given how much we ordered this past week.
I love the convenience store thing. Oh, this is it, guys. We're Wally. Here it comes. Well, I know at the top of the show we promised to unite you.
Uh-oh.
But now we're going to divide you.
Uh-oh.
Into short in the front and long in the back.
Oh,
and or
the best kind of division.
And or your feelings about the mullet. Because apparently the mullet is back.
The mullet was made for Zoom. Business in the front, party in the back.
Business in the front, party in the back. It's just like your work shirts and then your sweatpants.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's so interesting is that the mullet made a comeback kind of like late last year and early this year on girls, on like hipster girls. Like Miley Cyrus had one and all these like cute Instagram girls had, and it was like showing up on the runway. And that makes sense because I think like many of us females have accidentally had mullet haircuts.
So why not just kind of, you know, what do they call it when you empower yourself by adopting the thing that would otherwise be? Yeah. Yeah.
Own it. Or yeah, like appropriate it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the mullet, it, you know, has returned. But then now apparently it's spreading.
like so many other things in society these days.
A virus or something. And then it's now the men are re-embracing it as well. And again, this is partly due to coronavirus situation. Mm-hmm. Like it's in some cases, it's just because you can't get a haircut, but you can trim your bangs or the hair in the front. And so mullets are sort of accidentally creeping back in and then just coming back as a style. And so there's actually a really funny article in the Wall Street Journal about how the mullet makes a comeback and divides Australia.
Oh, no.
Because I know, dun, dun, dun. Because there, evidently, at least according to the journal, some of the men are like really embracing the mullet, like the old school 80s kind.
Oh, I kind of feel like the mullet never totally died in Australia. I'm just saying I was there not too long ago.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say I think that's true. Also, they point to the popularity of Tiger King as another reason for the return of the mullet.
You do need a role model for a trend.
I mean, I think if you're rocking the full-on mullet, fair to say that's your guy. But it's true. Joe in the Discord points out work from home mullet is dress shirt up top, sweatpants below. And I think people are actually calling that work from home mullet. So it's back as like a haircut
on hipster
women and apparently tradesmen in Australia as an accidental quarantine creep hairstyle and as a metaphor for how we all look right now, which is amazing. It's a thing quadfecta.
Right. It's a thing that you could identify without observing, right? You could just like logically deduce it.
Yep.
Like, well, just if like, this why? Happens, then this happens, then obviously the end result is mullet.
It's mullet. Clearly.
It's just science.
I know. And then now, and that's what makes it a thing. That's the like the thing the machines can't detect, the ether. It's in the ether.
Man, folks, listen, we need to flatten the mullet curve. So remember to wear a hairnet. Stay 6 feet away from anyone with a mullet and wash your hair.
I mean, they even have a picture of Zendaya. I think it's like only arguably a mullet. But
okay, yeah, because I know the Zendaya haircut. I would not have called that a mullet, but now that you say it, I realize it does sort of fit the definition, doesn't it?
Yeah, or as Lara puts it, fashion mullet. I mean, the Billie Eilish haircut is without a doubt, when you really think about it, it's a straight up mullet.
Now, do we, there's a Billie Eilish picture that you just put in the Discord there. There's no curls. I think of mullet as curls, but they, I guess they don't need curls. That's just that's just the Tiger King role model overriding my mullet sense.
I guess so, yeah. Or just like the guys you knew growing up.
Also,
here's
that.
I'm gonna put the Miley Cyrus.
My mind. Yes, that was totally thinking of people mullet. From my high school.
You totally were. I know. Same. So anyway, mullet, the metaphor and the hairdo. It's a thing.
It is a thing. All right. Before we move on to our second picks, we need to announce a co-thing, a co-spotted co-thing. Thing. Yeah.
Co-thing alert.
So this started when my wife pointed out a trending thing on YouTube that was going around of the Twins the New Trend channel doing really, really wonderful react to videos of old songs. So they're two young Black kids listening to, like, for instance, the one that made all the headlines, Phil Collins in the Air Tonight, right? I don't know if it was for the first time or not, but it certainly appears to be the first time.
I think that's the deal with,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's the deal with their channel, is that they only react to songs they've never heard before.
And if that's not true, they're great actors, because it really does feel like they're reacting for the first time. And they're fun. They're not like ripping it apart. They're like they're enjoying listening to it, and they'll pause and trade comments. So I sent that link to Molly saying, hey, are you seeing this? I need a thing check here. Mm-hmm. And at first we were like, maybe just a moment, you said. Maybe
right,
not.
Because I was
thing.
Like, oh, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it everywhere. Like, we talked about it on Make Me Smart. It was everywhere. But I was like, I feel like it's just today's thing. Right. I'm not sure it has. Yeah.
Yeah. We weren't sure that it had the legs to become a thing until you found the deer video.
I didn't find it. Hollyhock sent it to me, who is in the Discord right now, tweeted it to me. And it was already like a recut, like a deer walking through a playground, tripping on a fence or on a slide, and then that is set to, because the best part of that video of the boys reacting, I mean, they're, again, I cannot stress this strongly enough, they're teenage boys, and this song is so old, and I had all of this tension. I've said this a million times in other places, but I was watching it and I was like, they're gonna get bored before the good part, because if you know that song,
right,
you know that it doesn't get good until like 3 minutes in. And in fact, that is their comment, because they're listening and it's got the cool and it's like dramatic. And then all of a sudden it's like, goo, 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 goo. And they're like, what? And then they're like, who drops a beat 3 minutes into a song? And then Hollyhock, longtime listener, tweeted me a video of this deer. And as the deer trips on a slide and ends up accidentally going through a tunnel, it's set to do, 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 do. And I'm like, okay. And I texted Tom and I was like, I was completely wrong. This is a thing.
So the kids channel the moment, right? Because it took off on Twitter. But then Phil Collins in the Air Tonight suddenly became the thing. Like, it just busted out and became the meme.
Oh, now Hollyhock says maybe it wasn't her. Maybe it wasn't. Sorry. I just assume because you're so good at stuff that it was you. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The sub thing that came out of it is the resurgence of the song and the realization of everything being a song. And now Cher Marie in the Discord is posting more, more in the Air Tonight videos. Yeah, so maybe it's actually the beat drop in the Air Tonight that is going to be the thing that lasts.
Yeah, because the other one we watched was them listening to Jolene and sort of saying like, oh, I like her attitude. Oh, I like a song that tells a story, you know, and the Jolene one is super fun, just as fun as the In the Air Tonight. But it didn't take off like the Phil Collins one, I think, because of the beat drop comment particularly.
That's so interesting, because I did also see Jolene briefly trending. Wow. Uh-huh. Those guys hit hard yesterday.
They did. And deservedly so. They were super fun to watch. Yeah.
I know. I love them just sort of grooving. Like, they're just bopping their heads to the song. Like, okay, yeah, this is all right.
I think that's what made it, is that I expected, when I started watching it for it to be like making fun of the song. Because Phil Collins, right? Like, people take pot shots at Phil Collins all the time. Here's some young kids. They're going to hear this weird 80s song. And then the fact that they were just finding joy in it and like, yeah, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like, instead of mocking something old, they were being positive. I think that's one of the reasons it took off, because it wasn't what you expected. And we need a little positivity these days.
I think so too. I said this on Make Me Smart. I was like an example of unity. It was unity of old and new.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
Well, my second thing is something that, again, is not new, but I noticed it. Right. So this may just be me finally noticing something. But the other day, Nilay Patel, the editor in chief of The Verge, tweeted jokingly when they named a new CEO of Ford that he keeps applying and they need to call him because he's willing to step in. and I responded to him, next time, tell them your name is Jim Patel. Because the last two CEOs of Ford have been named Jim. And I got someone retweeting me with the phrase underrated tweet. And so now I'm like, wait, is that a thing? And then I looked around. I'm like, oh, yes, absolutely. Like finding a tweet that you don't think is getting the attention or credit or appreciation that it deserves, you label it an underrated tweet.
Oh my God, that's totally a thing. You're absolutely right. And super funny. And I've seen it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like, it's an easy, simple amplification. It's like, what's funny about it is that is an amplification of a good joke, as in your case, but it's also a tiny bit of a humble brag. Like, I got this joke, but you didn't.
Yes. Right. There is that sort of like, you know, I know you won't find this funny, but I do.
You're probably not going to get this. I'm not going to explain it to you, but it's a super underrated tweet.
But if you really know what's going on.
Sincerely, I'm not trying to make fun of it. Going back to our thing of unity.
No, I know.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it. Yep, totally. I feel like we could start using that in day-to-day conversation too. And ironically, my second thing is also a thing that I had been seeing going around Twitter a lot. Specifically, yesterday and this week, in the context of the girl from the Georgia high school who got suspended for, she's a yearbook photographer, and she took a photo of the super crowded hallway in that Georgia high school that had reopened and posted it online, and it went viral, and the school suspended her for making the school look bad. And then she did this whole like media tour, and on one of the programs, CNN, I think, she said, "I think this is good trouble and necessary trouble." And it made me real. And so I saw it all over Twitter, but it made me realize that I had seen it a whole bunch of times as a phrase over the last few weeks. And that it also, because I'm really on this, like, listen, guys, if we come together, we can do anything unity kick, that I'd been seeing it everywhere. And then, of course, duh, it's from John Lewis. It's from a quote that he said saying that it was important to what?
When, how far back does that go? I'm curious.
Let's see. I'm going to look up necessary trouble.
Necessary trouble. Okay. Yeah.
Well, he says, never ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble. Necessary trouble.
Okay.
In 2018, he tweeted it in 2018. And I don't know how, I assume it was because of all the retrospectives and people talking about, you know, his most memorable quotes.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, and maybe he played it in, Ken Hayes in the Discord actually says he said it in the mid-60s.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. It felt played that way to me. Yeah,
at
yeah.
his funeral. It's his autobiography title. You can tell that I have not done my homework here. But what I love is that it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's having one of those ether moments. Like, it's a thing that people are taking up and they're saying, this makes sense to me.
Yes.
This is how we can put our sense of resistance or rebellion or revolution in some context.
That's a great American
tradition.
Title
the documentary about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone is like, got Molly. They're like, honey, this is literally his signature phrase. It's the name of his documentary, his autobiography. He said it in the 60s. Okay. Thank you. Sorry. That's embarrassing. But everybody has to learn a thing sometime.
Yeah. I'm learning this thing right along with you. Don't feel bad. This is good because let me out embarrass you. When you said good trouble, I immediately thought of the 10th studio album for Mario Speedwagon.
Okay.
Which came out in 1982, which led to me wondering, like, oh, it has to predate that, which it does. So there you go. Yay.
Wow. Do you think they stole it? That's interesting.
It was probably he probably coined it. It permeated the consciousness. And then, yeah, they probably just, you know, lifted it from.
And maybe it didn't. I don't know. But yes, that is indeed. I looked up the documentary that came out in 2020. John Lewis, Good Trouble.
Yeah. And it reminds me of civil disobedience, right? A more 19th century way of putting the same thing. And it's a great American tradition to say, you know what, when you're on the right side, but maybe on the wrong side of standard practice, you get either civil disobedience or get in some good trouble.
I think it's beautiful. And you know what? I'm going to show my kid this documentary this weekend. We're going to watch it.
I'm going to try to get the REO Speedwagon song out of my head now.
You might have to play it. Even like Good Trouble's amazing. Necessary Trouble.
Yeah, I like that one.
I actually think the second part of that is really, really powerful. Yeah.
Also doesn't make me think of the song. So that's good.
I'll play it after this.
Let's get to your things. We fuel on your things. So keep them coming. Feedback at itsathing.me. Thank you for continuing to send these. Pat from Omaha on the new hotness. Depending on where you've been on Twitter the last week or so, Blazeball has gone thing supernova. The amount of discussion, lore, meta, and entertainment around something that's not much more than a random number generator has been fascinating to watch. I'm not sure its thingness will last, but it's been great while it's here. Go Breck.
Blazeball.
Yeah.
DuckDuckGo has now taught me. No.
Oh, uh-huh.
A dangerous time waster, according to Vice. An effing delight in this horrible, cruel world that we live in, according to Fanbyte. And very strange, a lot of people on Twitter. It is voting, some sort of gambling thing, a simulated baseball league.
Baseball league. And there is some like participation on the audience side, but you're not managing the team. You're just cheering for them.
Huh.
And I think there's like an in-game currency. I don't know if it's real. I don't think it's real money. But Bryce Castillo, who produces Cord Killers, is the one who introduced it to me because he was cheering for a team and following them. Each season takes 1 week. So it keeps you from getting, you know, having to get sucked into some, you know, months long situation. You can just pop in or pop out.
Oh, my goodness. This is fascinating. Yeah, it says it's a browser-based sports gambling sim. That includes soul swaps, forbidden tomes, and pitchers with literal cannons for arms.
Yeah, it's like fantasy, not fantasy sports, but like actual fantasy meets baseball.
This is amazing. Pat from Omaha, by the way, of course, home of the College World Series. Of course, Pat from Omaha is all over Blazeball. This is a thing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, this is for real.
Oh my gosh, also I kind of want to play it.
Yeah, I mean, you just spectate. Listen, someone, namely me, who ran a fantasy baseball league off of Micro League Baseball in his Commodore 64 in the 80s, looks at this and thinks, man, if this technology were around back then, I totally would have been on this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, that is so fun. I'm scared to try it. It's like Animal Crossing. I can feel
it'll
calling to my time. Kimberly, the Texas teacher, wrote in on emergency food kits and says, I worked at a Title I school with kids that are very food insecure. The first year when spring forward time came and I looked at the expired food I needed to dispose of, I saw the faces of my kids. Oh my God, I'm gonna cry. Whose families were struggling. I changed my system. Now on the first Sunday of the month, all that food gets packed up and taken to the food donation drop off. Then I restock for the next month. In addition, I donate money to the food bank because they can buy and safely distribute perishables with that money. That's a really good thing to do, Kimberly. I also split the difference between you and you, Tom, and me, Molly. My food kit is in the pantry. If we're in the cone, it and the go bag of personal stuff goes by the front door. Then for cat 1 through 3, this is some real hurricane talk here.
Yeah, right.
It stays there because all my family are shelter in place zones. Cat 4 or 5, it goes in the back of my sister's car. Uh-huh. And we head for New Mexico because my brother-in-law's family has a home there. Those of us on the Gulf Coast have the advantage of watching our most common natural disaster for days and sometimes more than a week as it comes for us.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't make it any better, that but at least you get some warning. That's good. Yeah.
Dang.
Here in earthquake country, we would love that.
But that would be amazing.
Thankfully, earthquakes don't happen as often as hurricanes, so it all balances out somewhere. And as I always
and
tell
the
my
fires, you can sort of usually see coming.
Yeah, yeah, they start at least start slowly.
Maybe not always, but
the my friends back home are like, how would you live in California with the fires and the earthquakes? I'm like, yeah, I should move back to the world of floods and tornadoes. Like, everybody's got something. Come on.
I know. My friend in DC was saying that too. And I was like, I don't know, man. I'm gonna still say this is like fine.
Like, it's not, I mean, there are probably some places that are safer than others, but it's the earth. It can get you wherever you live.
It can get you. I also read a really interesting piece the other day, side note, about heat waves and how heat waves are so, like, heat waves are becoming obviously way more common and are way more deadly than hurricanes, fires, and earthquakes, and flooding combined. And we don't talk about them in the same way. And the piece was basically like, maybe they need names.
Well, yeah, like heat wave.
Tom.
No. I was trying to think of something more fiery.
Some other name. Oh.
Also not my own name. Yeah.
No, he's like, come on. Speaking of names.
Yes. We have some great names we want to congratulate with shout outs. Our shout outs go to folks who support us the very most on Patreon. We appreciate all the people in our audience. But you get a little something extra if you're able to support at the top level. Every shout out this week gets their own personal cocktail.
Oh my goodness.
These are created by our producer Rich. They're amazing.
Who says, not only does everybody get their own personal cocktail, these will now become the only adult beverages allowed to be consumed while the patrons are at the shout out level. Or only they are allowed to consume them. I'm a little confused, but
please see shout out level terms and conditions. Honor system applies.
There you go. Exactly. So here's your new drink, friends, and thank you for your support. First up, the Jake Woods, 1 ounce Irish whiskey, 1 ounce honey liqueur, 1 ounce fresh orange juice, 1/4 ounce simple syrup, and 2 dashes of Angostura bitters. Mm.
To make the Eric Duncan, take 1 ounce vodka, 1 ounce Aperol, 2 ounces sparkling wine, 2 ounces Sprig CBD infused zero sugar sparkling citrus soda, and garnish with a grapefruit slice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. It's getting real now. The Kevin Sill. 1 small chunk sushi grade tuna.
Wow. Raw.
1 ounce vodka, 2/3 of an ounce triple sec, 1 dash ginger liqueur, 1 ounce pineapple juice, 3/4 of an ounce of lime juice, freshly squeezed, obviously, 1/2 ounce coconut syrup, and garnish with a dash of ground black pepper.
Hmm. I'll have the Gabriel Cohen. If you don't know how to make the Gabriel Cohen, it's 2 ounces Pisco, 1 ounce fresh lime juice, 1/2 ounce simple syrup, an egg white, and then garnish with bitters.
And pronounce it however you want. The Brad Sparks, 1.5 ounces of Blanco tequila. I like this already. 1/2 ounce of creme de cassis, 1 ounce of pressed lime juice, 1/4 ounce of black sesame orgeat, 1 egg white, 1/2 teaspoon of activated charcoal, and garnish with dehydrated beetroot sugar.
Wow. Yeah, that's a craft cocktail right there.
That's a thing-tastic drink.
Louis Saint Amour, you make by taking 2 ounces Grand Marnier Cuvée Louis Alexander, or original Grand Marnier, if one must, 3/4 ounces dry vermouth, 1 dash of orange bitters, 1 lemon peel, and garnish with a rosemary sprig.
Now for the Andrew Wyatt, this is a manly drink. 2 ounces of blended scotch, 3/4 ounce of fresh lemon juice, 3/4 ounce of honey ginger syrup, 1/4 ounce of single malt scotch, and you garnish with candied ginger.
I want to make that.
I do too.
I mean, I love blended scotch and a single malt for flavor. Yeah.
Together.
That's great. Which is just more blended.
There are no rules. But it's
custom blended. That's amazing. And finally, the Mike Akins. 1 ounce apple cider vinegar, 1 ounce honey sage syrup, 2 ounces sparkling water or club soda, 1 ounce bourbon, and garnish it with a fresh sage leaf.
Absolutely amazing. Everyone, I hope you enjoy your new drinks, the only drinks you're allowed to drink while you support us at the patron level, and that doesn't change your mind. But honestly, I'd be fine with any of these over water. I'm just saying.
They're
Delightful.
They really look delicious, but I'm not even kidding. I'm definitely going to try to make the Andrew Wyatt, and I'm going to continue to call it the Andrew Wyatt from now until forever.
I just bought some Aperol for no reason whatsoever.
Really?
And so I'm making the Eric Duncan. I was just like, oh my God, Aperol, look how cheerful that looks and fun.
In the after times, I'll come over and we can have an Eric Duncan together. I can't wait.
Let's do it. And then we'll be brave after a couple of Eric Duncan and Andrew Wyatt. And then we'll try the Kevin Sill.
Yes. Yes. We'll level up.
Wow. As usual, a bang up job by producer Rich. And thank you for allowing us the opportunity to entertain ourselves with your patronage. I mean, this is a virtuous circle if I've ever encountered one. Patreon.com/It's a Thing is where you can support the show. Thank you so much to everyone who has become a member. It really, you make us do it every week, and it's frankly our pleasure.
Yes, it is. Keep those things coming too. We love to hear from you. Feedback at itsathing.me.
See you next time.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.